This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 30th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the most recent edition of the Environmental Almanac, Rob Kanner will discuss the pleasures of commuting by bicycle. And a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. The developer of the Old Burnham Hospital site in Champaign says they need more financial breaks from the city to cope with unexpectedly higher costs. The Champaign City Council approved the new incentives last night, but with a lot of grumbling. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Officials with the Pickus Company say interest rates are up and the price of construction materials have gone through the roof since they signed a development deal with the city last year. To make the Burnham project viable again, they say they need more help from the city. Several Champaign City Council members voiced suspicions. Mayor Jerry Schweihart wondered if the council made the right decision in choosing Pickus for the project.
I know they may have the best looking project on paper, but there's a local developer that could have had buildings up on that site by now. May not have been as pretty, but they'd be up.
The incentives sought by Pickus include a one-third cut in the price for the Burnham block land and a waiver of the city sales tax on construction materials. Developer Joel Pickus says they need the breaks to get financing for the project and nothing more.
This is just trying to make the deal work. That's all we asked for. And on top of that, they have a complete look back. If the deal comes in better, if we buy the construction lower, they get their money, they get the full amount.
Champaign City Council members voted 8-1 in study session to approve the incentives, with a final vote coming September 19th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Also last night, the Pickus Company has announced a tenant for the supermarket space at the Burnham Project. Quincy-based Neiman Foods will open a county market in the complex with an emphasis on organic and natural foods. The Illinois Secretary of State's office says about 500 drivers will have to redo background checks and fingerprinting if they want to get licenses to transport hazardous materials. That's because the Federal Transportation Security Administration found that some of those fingerprints were missing or unreadable. Secretary of State's office spokesman Dave Drucker says the problems have come up in the last couple of months with the private companies that handle the fingerprinting. Drucker says the letters sent to the drivers encourage them to go through the process again using companies recommended by the TSA. Republican Judy Bartopinka says she would spend an additional $100 million to promote reading if she's elected governor. She also said Tuesday that there should be an income cap placed on the program that would provide preschool to all 3- and 4-year-olds in the state. Governor Rod Blagojevich wants to offer preschool to all Illinois children. But Topinka says families who can afford to send their children should pay for it themselves in order to save money for needier students. The state treasurer discussed her education plan Wednesday after reading to children at a daycare in downtown Chicago. Blagojevich campaign spokeswoman Sheila Nix said it would be ridiculous for Topinka to criticize the governor's stance on education because he's approved $3.8 billion in new education funding. Federal energy officials are spending this week in two central Illinois cities meeting with officials from the Future Gen Industrial Alliance. That's the group considering Tuscola, Mattoon, and two cities in Texas as a possible site for the low-pollution coal gasification plant. Last night's visit to Tuscola was the first step in preparing an environmental impact statement for that city. State Commerce and Economic Opportunity Director Jack Lavin has been in the area as well. He's confident that Mattoon or Tuscola are well-suited for the Future Gen facility, which will keep CO2 emissions out of the air by sequestering them underground.
And we think the geology's on our side. We have water availability. We have a lot of the technical requirements. So we think if science is the key and science is the deciding factor, we think Illinois is the natural choice.
The Energy Department last night held a public hearing in Tuscola about the upcoming environmental impact statement for Future Gen. A similar hearing is planned for tomorrow night in Mattoon. Lavin says the impact statements on the two sites are expected to be ready in the spring. The Future Gen Alliance will announce its decision a year from now. The union that represents substance abuse counselors who help inmates at Illinois Sheridan Correctional Center is claiming victory. That means about 45 striking counselors will soon return to work for the first time since early June. Amanda Vinicky reports.
The state pays Chicago-based Gateway Foundation Incorporated to provide substance abuse treatment at Sheridan. That won't be the case for much longer, though. For nearly 3 months, the drug counselors employed by Gateway to provide those services have been on strike over low wages and other issues. Under a deal reached by both sides, Gateway has agreed it will not renew its contract once it expires in December. The company will also not submit bids to do any other business with the state. Anders Lindahl is a spokesman for AFSCME, the union representing the workers.
They wanted a fair contract. They wanted the free right to form a union and a say in how their program was run.
Lindahl says he's confident they'll have all that with a new company. Calls to Gateway were not immediately returned. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. In the most recent edition of the Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor discusses the pleasures of commuting by bicycle.
Between $3 a gallon gas and mounting concern over global climate change, more and more people are looking for ways to burn less fuel as they commute. In this quest, we often plow straight ahead to new technologies. Hybrid cars now, hydrogen-powered cars in the future. But you know, I bet you've already got a vehicle in your garage that can outgreen any new car. A vehicle that'll get you from point A to point B quickly and efficiently using century-old technology. I mean your bike, of course. I've been commuting by bike in Champaign-Urbana for just over 20 years now, and I've found that there are really very few days when taking the bike to work isn't my best option. I don't ride in thunderstorms or when snow and ice make the roads hazardous. Otherwise, the weather here doesn't present many obstacles that can't be overcome with the right clothing. And the flat terrain means you never have to pedal all that hard. Sometimes when I'm biking, I'll stop to talk with friends or colleagues who comment on the environmental virtue of not driving. But you know what? I don't bike because it's virtuous. I bike because I like to. When I get to work on the U of I campus, I park right outside the door to my building and pay no money for the privilege. Aside from other bicyclists, who else does that? I'm able to listen for birds all the way to work, and if I hear something interesting, I can pull over to take a look. I don't need to make time in my day to exercise when that's taken care of in my commute. I get to enjoy the sun on my face and the breeze in my hair. And of course, on my bike, I never stop at gas stations. I suppose there are plenty of reasons for people not to use bikes for commuting, but I suspect that the most significant one is automobile traffic. People fear being hit by a car while riding a bike, so they hop into a car instead. The thing is, bicycle commuting need not be dangerous, and it's not scary once you become accustomed to it. In order to enjoy commuting by bike, you need to claim for yourself a place on the road. There are plenty of web pages and books that provide detailed instructions about how to do this, but the main idea here is really not that complicated. As a bicyclist, you are not in the way of traffic. You are traffic. You should operate your bike as a vehicle and expect others using the roadway to treat you as one. This means you use lights when lights are needed, you signal your turns, and you obey other traffic laws as you do in a car. You turn left from the left turn lane, you don't pass on the right, and you don't ride on the sidewalk. In short, you assert yourself and behave predictably. Now, asserting yourself need not include riding on the busiest streets in town at the busiest times of day. One of the great pleasures of bicycle commuting is developing routes that allow you to enjoy the journey. If you're interested in touching base with others in our community who want to promote bicycle commuting, check out champaigncountybikes.org on the web. They're a newly formed group whose goal is to make Champaign County the most bicyclist-friendly county in the Midwest.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the UIUC Environmental Council. The Environmental Almanac can be heard Thursdays at 4:45 and 6:45 p.m. during All Things Considered on AM 580. In the forecast for the region today, cloudy skies, occasional drizzle, a few showers possible, the high 72 degrees. Cloudy tonight with patchy drizzle and fog, the low around 60. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few showers possible, the high around 75, northeasterly winds at 6 to 12 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 30th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.